Take a little walk to the edge of town and go across the track, where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks, where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires. Hey man, you know you're never coming back.
Hey everybody, welcome to Scaredy Cats. I'm Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my sister, Mindy.
Hello, guys.
Welcome to our horror show. We got a lot to get into today. We'll be talking about the movie Eloise. And we're also going to be ranking all the Ghostface killers from the Scream franchise. So we got a lot of fun stuff. First, let's hit the plugs. Make sure to check out the Dirt Sheet Dudes, Boxman and Smark, every Wednesday and Saturday. There are wrestling shows on Wednesday and the Hollywood Hangout movie reviews on Saturday. Make sure to check out our friend Sean, Elite Diplodoc, on YouTube. And watch us or listen to us at 6:30 p.m. on Blog Talk here live. Or check us out on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you get podcasts, or the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Check us out Saturday for Unscripted Unlimited. We just did top 10 NFL quarterbacks of all time yesterday. And, of course, here between 1 and 3 for the Scaredy Cats. Mindy, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Daniel?
I'm doing pretty well. You want to get into some news items?
Oh, yeah, sure. So, everybody, as we all know, February 18th on Netflix, they dropped the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I know everyone knows that I was very hesitant about this movie. Amazing piece. Great, great movie. It was kill after kill after kill. It might have been a little too much,
yeah.
Honestly. But if you love horror and gore and slashers, you're going to love this movie.
Yeah.
Really good. Also, I forgot to check in with you guys about the Chucky series. It is streaming still on sci-fi.com. Go ahead and check that out. It's a 8-part miniseries. It's a really, really, really good series. Takes a really deep look into Chucky's actual character. They're also coming out with a season 2. They just confirmed that. And lastly, but not leastly, of course, Jamie Lee Curtis has taken it upon herself to redo Halloween Ends and make it better. According to her, she's sorry that the second one was really bad, and she's making it up for this one. So that's all I got right now in news, guys.
Absolutely. So Eloise, this movie starring Eliza Dushku.
Yeah, and Chance Crawford.
Chance Crawford, my boy Robert Patrick's in it.
Mm-hmm.
The famous T2 from The Terminator, and recently coming into great fame from being on John Cena's Peacemaker series.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think of this one, Mindy?
I really enjoyed it. It reminded me of a shorter, more compact version of Rose Red.
Okay.
By Stephen King. Because while they were in the building was waking up.
Yeah.
That's what I would compare it to. But it was a very psychological, in your head, let's screw you up and make you not figure out what's going on. Every part of this movie is integral to the actual ending. You have to watch it from beginning to end, and you have to be sure that you're reading the beginning and that you're staying into it the entire time. Now, I am going to put a warning up for this movie. There is a lot of intense stuff. Not only that, but there's a lot of abuse. There's a lot of negligence. There's a lot of harmful experiments and awful experiments involving bugs and snakes going on with the doctor. There's an electroshock therapy. There's needles. So if you're not okay with that stuff, take a break from us. Fast forward it a little bit or come back in a little bit. We're going to be doing we're going to be doing something else. We're going to be doing Ranking Screen Killers. But if this isn't for you, don't try and make it be for you.
Yeah, this movie is definitely not for the faint of heart. It's got some crazy themes in it and, you know, the gore. And
it's all about your fear.
Yeah, so it really plays on that. I found it to be one of the creepier movies we've done.
Mm-hmm.
But it was freaky and it was scary in a certain element, even for kind of being a low-budget movie. I just thought it was really good, and I thought they played with the atmosphere of the penitentiary, would you call it, or asylum?
It was in the asylum.
Okay, so they play with the atmosphere of that really well. I mean, Eliza Dushku is pretty much good in anything, and
especially horror. Horror is her genre.
And Chris Hemsworth, I mean, Chance Crawford is pretty good too. I swear to God, he looks like Chris Hemsworth.
He does.
Hemsworth.
I also thought he looked like Paul Walker.
Yeah,
I can see that.
He does kind of look like Paul Walker.
But he's like an average handsome guy. He's good. I thought Scotty was a really intricate character.
And that's what kind of reminded me of Rose Red.
Yeah.
Because do you remember that one goofy guy that saw stuff?
Yeah.
And he lived with his mom and stuff. Like, that's who Scotty reminded me of.
Yeah. He was creepy too, but he was like a really good character because
yeah.
he just kind of wanted to uncover all the bullshit, and he was like the mastermind, and he knew it. He was a good first one to take out.
Yeah, and then Jake's friend Del, who comes in out of nowhere and helps them and whatnot. He was a really good comedic relief.
Oh, played by Brandon T. Jackson. I thought he was hilarious. I thought he was one of the better parts of the movie.
Like, Jake, where are you going? Where are you go? Do not leave me in the same room as a man with no pants on.
And in the beginning, when he's like, you know, I'm just fucking with you, right? I forgot what he what the context was, but
it's because he stole his grandfather's watch.
Yeah.
And he said, you're just fucking with me, right? And Jake's like, yeah. And he's like, you don't want your shit bag? And he's like, no. So, obviously, those two had been childhood friends for a really long time. What had started this entire thing was Jake was a mechanic who ran his own shop, and the shop was going under.
Yeah.
It was really, really, times were really bad for him. And he got a phone call from his father's estate lawyer letting him know that his father had passed away and that the estate was waiting to be signed over to him. So he had to go home and tie up some loose ends. So he headed back and whatnot, and as he met up with the lawyer explained to him, well, here's the thing. We got to get rid of one more person before you're allowed to have the money. So this is your aunt. Her name is Genevieve, and she was in Eloise Asylum, and she died. But we don't have any record of her death.
Yeah.
If we wait to proclaim her dead, it's going to take about 7 years. If we go ahead and find the documents, then we can get it done immediately. So he gives him a number, tells him to call it. And then the next day, Jake meets up with this lady. Excuse me, guys. Who's really, really creepy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And she is okay at first. She seems really nice at first, and then she seems to be really annoyed towards the end. What happens is he goes to pick up his aunt's paperwork, and he picks it up from her, and he leaves, and then he finds out that his aunt's paperwork has been switched to a place called the Annex. And the Annex is very heavily guarded. Like, think about the Pentagon.
Yeah.
Like, there you go. And he was told that he was going to have to wait a while to get it. And he asked her if there's anything she could do. She told him to fill out slip. And this bitch be filling out a hospital admission slip. Number one, how'd she get that? And number two, like, why? And number three, it says that he's claustrophobic. He doesn't mention that he's claustrophobic until, like, a few scenes after this happens. And he mentions it to the people he's with, not her.
Yeah, that part didn't make much sense to me either.
Yeah. And then you fast forward a little bit. Dell scares the crap out of him at his house because he takes a chance thinking he might be there. And the two of them go out for drinks. They meet up with the beautiful Elijah Dishku.
Well, she's the waitress, right?
She's a bartender. And she was running the place by herself that night. Jake came in. He wanted a fancy drink. She made him drink a beer instead and made him buy an entire round for the entire bar. That was slick. And then they parted their ways.
Yeah.
I didn't think that they were ever going to see each other again.
Right.
I thought that was it. And then Dell comes up with this brilliant idea to get a hold of an Eloise expert. Because Eloise is actually a real place, guys, and there's a lot of history behind it. So they needed to find a fanatic. And they found Scotty, who just so happened to be Elijah Dishku's character, Pia. It ended up being her brother. So that's how she got entangled in this mess. That entire thing that goes down, though, between the four of them and the house and whatnot before they leave was hysterical. You guys would absolutely love it.
Yeah.
It was so funny. It was definitely the comedic relief you needed. Then you get into the middle. It's a little bit more gritty, a little bit more hardcore. They start to get separated. Things start to go down. And what did you think about that, Daniel? What did you think about the meat of the movie?
I thought it was good. I mean, the plot was, to me, it was a little back and forth. I like when they kind of go, like, in a flashback, but they're there in a flashback almost.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things about this movie that I enjoyed. Eliza Dushku's performance is mainly one of them, just because I feel like she, like, is so good in, like, this kind of grizzled, like, been through some shit, badass woman role that she's done in a lot of these movies.
She's very good in psychological films.
Yeah. She's good at being deep, but also, like, kind of having a cool factor
mm-hmm.
almost about her. And, like, you kind of want to watch the movie to see, like, what she's
going
to
do. What she does.
And so this was I thought the cast was just... It was a really good, well-acted, casted movie. I thought Chance Crawford did pretty good for what he was supposed to do. Robert Patrick's obviously a legend of the game. And he
was creepy as ever.
And so, I mean, on Peacemaker, he's a neo-Nazi, so obviously he's got range. But he fucking just... Such a, like, a mastermind, like, evil genius, like, but, like, scumbag, fucking, like, he was just so good in this role of being, like, this terrible person that just, he thinks that people need to face their fears.
Instead of coddling them.
Yeah, and it's just, there's a lot of themes in there that, you know, there's themes that, like, apply to, like, everyday life that they kind of threw in here, and, like, he's kind of, like, that toxic. You know, part of that.
Yeah.
It's like you get, like, facing your fears is a good thing, but he like, fucking, oh, like, away.
He's trapping people.
Yeah.
And stuff for claustrophobia. He's injecting needles into people. He's covering people with snakes and cockroaches. That's just too much.
In the very first shot of the movie, he's kind of established as, like, oh, this is, like, the villain. This is the fucking,
yeah,
like,
the
one that
is
begging
him. In the first shot of the movie, there's this guy who's saying, hey, I'm feeling a lot better. Can we please stop?
Yeah.
I don't need to be doing this anymore. And he just completely ignored it.
Yeah. So to me, his, like, villainous role and Elijah Dushku's character really made the movie for me.
Absolutely.
I thought Dell was a great side character. I thought Scotty was a great side character. Detective was what he was.
Jake definitely could have been acted by a different actor.
It's not even, like, it's not good or bad. It's just, like, place handsome guy
he's
here.
There.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, it's just he's there. I think that that's why they actually didn't do anything with him at the end that much.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that he really didn't need to be there.
I mean, the ending was the most fucked up because it's one of those movies, and you get it a lot in horror, but even sometimes they still try to go for the happy ending. This does not have a happy ending. It's very bleak. It's very, like, Jacob's fucking dead.
But they can't find him.
Yeah, they can't find him. Robert Patrick's character wrote the shit on the sheet, born alive, now dead, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She's in a mental asylum telling the detective what happened. And that's kind of how we close out. It doesn't really need to be a sequel. It's a standalone movie. It's a kind of a story in its own.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. I thought it was good for what it was. I thought one of the it was scary.
Yeah.
Because one of the things with a lot of these movies that we do on the show,
we're just
I have trouble. Yeah, I have trouble getting scared.
Yeah.
This one had me kind of on my toes and like, ooh, like what the fuck's going on? I'm like, this is creepy. I had to look away for a couple of the things.
Yeah, there was a couple of times where I myself, guys, had to like cringe
yeah.
and look away.
A lot of it's more like, I wouldn't say body horror, but more like gross you out horror. More like fuck with your head a little bit.
I would say it was more psychological
yeah.
than gross.
Yeah.
I would say that it really got into your head. Like another movie we've discussed on here, Identity with John Cusack.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like the premise was kind of the same. Not really, but kind of. Also, I can also relate this movie to The Boogeyman 2.
Yeah.
Because of the fears. Only difference is that in Boogeyman 2, it's irrational fears. And this movie, it's just, I mean, your fear could be as easily as, like, a fear of snakes. And you're screwed. So, like, it really, really, really was very dark. And what people don't understand as well is that this was all based on something that existed. And stuff that happens. And Eloise actually has a couple buildings still standing, and it's actually in Michigan. They do have tours and whatnot. Go ahead and check it out if you got that kind of money. We're going to try and check it out at one point. But honestly, I would say I would give it a good, like, 7.5.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, I got to take a lot of points away because of the loose ends.
Yeah. There was a lot that didn't really get finished up. And that's what, that, to me, I gave it a 7, too, because it's like, it doesn't need a sequel, and it doesn't seem like one of those movies, but it seems like it was trying a little bit. And,
yeah.
and like, I didn't really like that. I didn't like that aspect of the movie. But I thought it was well-acted, well-written, and well-directed. So I would definitely give it a 7 out of 10. And I thought the best kill had to have been Dell was, like, fucking drowning in the morgue room with all the coolant shit with the pipe. And when he cut his hand and he's all scared and then he's fucking freaking the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
I would say my scariest kill, my best kill would have to go to Scotty. I've been in that kind of situation before. I mean, I never had, like, shock therapy or anything like that done.
Yeah.
But that is a worst nightmare come true for so many people.
Yeah.
And he's screaming like you have the wrong person, you don't know what you're doing, and the doctor says, oh, this is no mistake. So that was definitely, in my opinion, my favorite kill.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's move on to our second item of business here. As lifelong Scream fans, we've seen every movie in the franchise, every episode of the TV series, every special, we've read fan fiction, we've seen the original script.
I'm so sad.
Now we're going to be ranking the Ghostface killers in the Scream franchise. I understand for you marks that are going to tell me, well, they didn't wear this Ghostface mask in the Scream. I don't give a fuck. We're ranking them too. We're ranking every killer that's ever been associated with Scream. I don't care if he wore that stupid
surgical mask.
This is what we're doing, and I'm excited for it because I think we're going to have kind of different lists, but I'm excited to see how your list turns out. Do you want to go first or you want me to?
I want you to.
Okay.
Well, we'll go one by one like we normally do, but you start.
Yes. My number, what would it be, 13?
13.
My number 13, and who I think is the worst killer in the Scream franchise would have to go to Miss Piper Shaw from season 1 of the Scream show.
Oh, Okay.
I did not buy it. I did not care. And when one of the when a reveal happens and you just sit there and you say, I don't care, then it's not doing its job. Because this is a whodunit. That's what Scream is about. The whole sister shit was stupid. The whole, like, concerned reporter, like, you didn't even need that character in the show. She meant nothing to the first season for me, and I did not like her. And I thought she was kind of irrelevant. And like, the whole reveal, they didn't have enough time. I thought the On the Lake was cool, and her, like, getting, you know, thrown in the lake and shit. And I thought the setup for that stuff was cool. But, like, the whole reveal of her, I did not give a shit. I didn't care. I was more interested by Audrey Pappas. Possibly being involved.
Yeah.
I thought that was, like, kind of cool. But Piper, it's like, it meant nothing to me.
Okay. All right, so my number 13 is got to be Roman Frigger.
Oh, God.
Roman is just too much for me to handle. Like, there's so much going on with Roman. They tried so hard to make it that he was Sydney's brother and da-da-da-da-da. But I didn't buy it. I didn't buy it at all. Like, even when he was doing his monologue and he was with Sydney herself, like, I didn't buy it.
Yeah.
I don't know. In my opinion, he was kind of a pansy-ass mama's boy.
Yeah, like Sydney said, you know, and he's an interesting one because I think with Roman, there's so much, like, backstory there, and it's, like, kind of a cool idea to where if it was built up a little bit, it might be, like, number two or three. It might be one of the top things.
Especially because he has the most kills in Ghostface history.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that he was the only one. He can't work with anybody else who works by himself.
Yeah. So he killed mad people, and he was – but he just came across like a pussy. And he just came at, like – and his scenes is the Hollywood director. And, like, it's kind of like Piper. Like, oh, it's the reporter? And, like, that's how I thought with it. Oh, it's the fucking director? Like, who gives a shit? Like, and if he would have been around for the earlier movies and you would have slowly built up to, oh, she has a brother. And, oh, it could be. But them trying to put all this exposition just to, like, cap
it's
off the
fan,
it wasn't enough. And it was too much and not enough at the same time, if that makes sense.
It does.
And it was just, it was overbloated and it didn't
and
mean
anything.
And
his whole death thing.
Yeah.
When he was found in a coffin and shit, like, come on.
Yeah.
You knew he wasn't dead.
Yeah. Get the
Who
fuck
dies
out.
With their eyes shut with no one around?
Yeah.
When you get stabbed and no one's around you, your eyes are open.
Yeah.
You don't look like you passed away in your sleep with your arms crossed. That just doesn't happen.
No. It was interesting, and, well, I'll get right into it, because he's my number nine. But I thought, like, yeah, there was, like, potential there. And I think that's why I put it over, like, Piper, because to me there was no potential there to be anything. I think Roman, if done in a different way, in a different scenario, that could have, Scream 3 could have turned out pretty good. It's just everything about it sucked ass, and he happened to be the killer in that movie. And it just, it meant nothing. It was, like... This is also the movie that took place right after the Columbine shooter, so they had to really go down on the gore. So
yeah,
we can't forget
because
about that.
They did a whole nother script. Kevin Williamson did, because Kevin Williamson did not write this movie. Wes Craven directed it, but Kevin Williamson did not write it.
Right.
And one thing I want to say is that Kevin did come up with a fantastic script before, but it was too close to Columbine.
Yeah.
The ages were too close and just the situation. And Wes Craven kind of pissed him off because he pulled it.
Yeah.
And he wanted a different script. So then Williamson left the project and they got some hokey dokey writer.
Yeah.
Did it do good? Absolutely. No.
No.
No. It didn't work at all.
And that's, I think that's why, like, this is a hard one and Roman's a hard one, because this was, like, a bad written movie. And it's, like, the one Scream movie that doesn't really feel like a Scream movie. And, you know, he's kind of one of the reasons. Like, a lot of the stuff in that movie is shit they're making fun of in the first two, you know? So and they fell into, like, horror tropes. And it's, like, there's just some shit about that movie that's just not good. And he happens to be one of those things.
Yeah.
So that's my number nine.
Okay. Well, Well, we're on 12, but okay.
Yeah. What?
So my number 12 is Charlie from Scream 4. I feel like Charlie just was there.
Yeah.
As a character. I'll give it to him. He did have some decent kills. Jill's kills are a little bit more. She did more than he did. But he did have some decent kills. I'll give him that. But just the personality was just zero.
Yeah.
He brought nothing to the character. Like, he was supposed to be like a greasy Billy type. No, absolutely not.
But he was also supposed to be like a Randy type, and he just didn't do it. Like, that was kind of his archetype. Like,
he didn't
it was
do
like,
it justice.
No, he wasn't funny like Stu. He wasn't smart like Randy. Like you think about, like, some of the great geeks that we'll get into, like Mickey and like Randy, and it's like, he's just so, like, flat. That character is just flat.
They easily could have casted a different actor.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, and I hate to say that because I do really like the McCulkin family.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, this isn't the right movie for him.
No.
All right, Daniel.
Next up for me, my 12 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean to shit on the show too much, but I went Kieran. Because to me, this is the one aspect, and they had a couple seasons to build this up, but this is the one aspect where the boyfriend just didn't work as the killer. And it usually does. I mean, we see it in the new movie. It usually works, but Kieran just did not work. And it's so, like, muddy because of who did he actually kill? We don't fucking know. Was he killing in the first movie? He was working with Piper, right? The first movie, the first season.
He was supposed to be.
So we don't even know what he actually fucking did. And I guess it's muddy with a lot of the Ghostface, but you can really watch the movies and kind of tell. I mean, you know, because you're a super fan, so you can usually tell. But even if you went back in, like, the first two seasons and tried to, like, pinpoint who Kieran killed, you'd fucking have a headache. It's hard. So we don't know what he really did. The final that show just fucked up all the, like, the final reveals.
I mean, did kill his cousin.
He killed his cousin, and that was great, but it just sucked. And it felt like it was calling back to the first one too much, and it did not do
it
justice.
What MTV did basically was take the first movie and the second movie and the third movie and the second movie and just switched them.
Yeah, pretty much. And it did not work for me.
No.
I did not like Kieran, and I was rooting for him a little bit, but he was still flat. Like, the actor sucked. No offense. He's a handsome guy.
He was just, like you said about Eloise, about Chance Crawford, like, insert pretty boy here.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what he was.
So the fact that he ended up being the killer just did nothing for me. I'd rather him die,
yeah,
to be honest.
Well,
like,
he did, but.
But, like, in a heroic way.
Yeah.
And then it finds out maybe he wasn't doing it, and he was, like, instructed by somebody else in that stupid special, so it's like,
that's
fuck
so
this
stupid.
Yeah.
We didn't even include that.
No, I'm not including that. But it's like, this shit's fucking stupid, and I don't care, so fuck Kieran. He's my number 11.
All right. My number 11 is Mr. Richie from Scream 5.
What?
I did not like Richie.
What?
I didn't like him.
Oh, my God.
I'm
going to hate my life.
Didn't like him. He tried so hard to be Billy Loomis, and he wasn't. He tried so hard.
See, that's how I felt about Kieran.
And he was not Billy. I don't know. It didn't.
Richie.
He wasn't convincing. For me, it wasn't 100% convincing.
Well, I'm going to bite my tongue and wait till I get to him because I don't agree, but that's okay.
I don't agree with your stuff either. So
it's okay. I think that's probably why we have two different lists.
Yeah, this is why, guys, we don't, like, spend, like, hours upon hours trying to argue with, like, one single list.
For one list, yeah.
It literally takes us, like, 3-4 days.
I went Charlie for my number 10. I gave him a little more brownie points than the other ones because I thought his reveal with killing Kirby was actually pretty cool. And
that was pretty cool, but if you see in Scream 5, when Richie's watching YouTube, there is a upcoming video in his queue that says Kirby Massacre Survivor speaks out about her survival. So you don't really know if Kirby is dead or not, because you don't see her die.
No.
Because Charlie gets frustrated.
Well, and they put Wes Craven said it on the commentary track for the movie. He said that he put in that little wink, that little twitch that she did, just to like put it just in case maybe she might live.
Yeah.
Kind of like what he did with Dewey with the stretcher at the end.
Yeah.
Because Dewey was supposed to die in the first one, but they put him on a stretcher like, oh, let's save him.
Yeah.
So they kind of gave her a little twitch just to be like, maybe she's alive.
Mm-hmm.
But I just like the whole, like, you know, I was a nerd. I tried to fucking chase after you, this hot bitch. Oh, now you're fuck you. It's just a guy. I thought it was cool. And I like, it was the only part of his character. Besides that, I mean, he's obviously low on my list too. So.
But that was the deepest part of his character.
Yeah, I don't think much of him, and I wouldn't consider him high up with the greats. But I thought, like, that one little moment was, there was a little sparkle there. But, like, the shit in the kitchen with Jill, that was Jill's movie at that point, and he had no business even being there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's my number 10.
All right. My number 10 is going to piss Daniel right the fuck off, because it is actually Kieran.
Okay.
I gave him a few more brownie points because, especially in season two, his kills were fantastic, in my opinion. And the second one, and the first one, if he had just been in the first one and that was it, he wouldn't be that high on my list.
Yeah.
He would be much lower. But the work that he does in the second one sells me on it.
So you bought
it? No, I didn't buy it. Unfortunately, I knew it was him almost the entire time. I knew it had to be once you found out Aubrey was innocent.
Yeah.
I knew it had to be him. It's way too obvious. But I respect the work behind it and the kills. That's what I can get behind. I mean, season one, he's kind of Piper's lap dog and everything else. But season two, he really brought it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, obviously, I didn't agree with what I said, but I respect that. And I can see where you would get that. I had trouble buying it, but, you know.
Well, like I said, I didn't buy it, but, I mean, I respected what they were trying to pull off.
See, you thought that he was the better boyfriend than Richie, the better boyfriend killer.
Yeah, I thought he was a little bit more insane.
Okay.
Richie was a little too much of a good nerdy type.
Okay.
For me. That's the only reason why I put Richie so far down, because to me, Richie really shouldn't have been a killer.
Yeah. No, I can see that.
They should have just stuck with him being the boyfriend. He could have just been a Derek from Scream 2.
Okay. I got Jamal next. From the season three, when the VH1 one, where they went a little more urban, and it was really good. I really have a soft spot. That got shit on in reviews, and it's like one of those things where I really don't get, because I like that.
I love it.
I like that season.
Especially because it's only 6 episodes, guys, and if you watch it on Netflix, it's like 35 minutes, 40 minutes per episode. So you could literally, like, start it at, like, 11 and be done by, like, the end of the night.
Yeah. Now, Jamal, I'm kind of being a little unfair. I mean, Tyga is not going to ever get an Oscar. I think we can all agree on that.
No, he's a horrible actor.
He's not the greatest actor, but I liked the character, and I thought he did well enough to where the character did sell me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of, like, he's the one that knew that the dude was a twin because he was homies with the other twin, and he knew that he was acting different when that one twin died. So like, there was, like, little themes in that, like, his...
And, like, he did little tasks.
And I kind of liked the reveal to where he knows, like, before, and then he confronts him, which he knows. Because they've never done that before.
No.
So I thought that was kind of cool to where, like, he finds out, and he's like, all right, I know it's him, and then he pulls up on him.
Yeah.
And, like, I thought that was kind of badass.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, him as a whole, he wasn't, like, the greatest character of all time. That's why he's not super high on my list. But I think he served a purpose. And for being a secondary killer for that season, I thought he did all right, and I didn't hate it. So...
Absolutely. I agree.
That's my number nine.
My number nine is going to piss Daniel off once again. It's going to be Piper Shaw.
Jesus.
I liked Piper as a girl who is a misfit, who goes through stuff, who's been through a lot. I understand why Emma would become such good friends with her. I get it. And... for this little tiny thing to have so much hatred and so much rage built up towards the girl, and she not act for so long and then finally confronted her, like, to me that was good. Like, she sat on it. And I'm sorry, anybody that makes you kill your own ex-boyfriend, they got props in that book.
Yeah.
No, I understand what you're saying, and I do get it. And I get the back.
It's one of those things, and with it's a TV show, to where you really need to believe the backstory if you're going to enjoy the show.
And I believed her backstory. I didn't really believe Kieran, but I believed her.
See, I had a little more time with Kieran, so I think that's why I put him higher up, because we had a little more time. With her, it kind of, to me, it was a little too, we went from reporter to this too quick.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand.
But you got to remember, too, like, at the end, like, towards the end, she was no longer, like, just a reporter. She was part of them.
Yeah.
She was part of their group.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, after Will died, they kind of, like, adopted her.
Yeah. To an extent, for sure.
She even said that herself in one of her podcasts. She said, I feel like I'm a part of this now.
Yeah. My number eight is Amber Freeman from the new one.
Oh, God, we are not going to agree.
Really?
We're not going to agree on shit.
You didn't even like her. You ever higher up? But I liked her more than you. That's what I'm shocked about. I actually didn't mind it, but we're getting close. Like, I liked all these movies. Even, like, three, I have a little soft spot for. So it's hard for me to, like, say what's shitty and what's not. Because,
I mean,
like,
you guys also got to remember, too, at the beginning of, like, Halloween month, at the beginning of October, we start watching Scream stuff.
Yeah.
So we can get it
and I fucking grew up with this shit, too. From a wee lad to see it, like, just coming full circle to seeing the new one in theaters with you open at night. So it's like I have a lot of love for this franchise. So it's really hard for me to say, like, oh, this sucks. Because I don't watch this for that. You know, we're critics, and we criticize the movies and stuff.
This movie franchise, I should say, is definitely more for fun.
Yeah, I get a little more joy out of it. I love, like, the fact that there's, like, going to be another Scream. It's like, that's like an event for me. I can't wait to go see another one.
Yeah.
Like, I love that this is thriving. But I liked Amber. I thought she was all right. The only reason I put her in the position she's in is for lack of screen time. I thought you had a lot of movie on your hands. We had a lot of shit going on in this, and a lot of it worked. So that's why I'm not, like, mad about it. It's not like I think this is a fault on the movie. But you had the relationship with the sisters. You had the boyfriend shit. You have Billy talking to the one sister because that's his daughter. You had that whole backstory with Billy being her father and everything. You have Sydney and Gail coming into the mix. Dewey's the grizzled veteran. You got all the high school friends and shit. So you have a lot of movie to fucking get into. So I don't know if she was developed as much as – to me, she wasn't developed as much as Richie. I obviously like Richie better than her. You obviously liked her better than Richie. We're obviously going to get into that. But I just didn't feel like her character – by the time she actually pulled the trigger and shot that girl in the head, I don't know if I felt like it was completely earned. I saw it coming, and that's another reason that she's kind of this low, because I knew – like, you and me knew, like, she could be it. She was a suspect right away.
Yeah.
Richie was never really a suspect for me. She was a suspect. And I liked her scenes, and I thought she acted fine, and I thought all that was perfect. And I thought the reveal at the end when, oh, I'm not the killer. Oh, I know. And then she shoots her in the fucking head. Like, that shit's crazy. And I thought Amber, like, did a really good job for what she was given. I just, maybe if you give her 20 more minutes, 15 more minutes in this movie, she's a little higher up. But I just think, like, she's talked about a lot as the best friend to Tara, right? The little sister. She's talked about a lot, but she's not necessarily seen as much.
But that's, she blames that on the fact that Sam's back into town.
Yes. And the movie did it well. And it, like, I don't have any, like, qualms about it. I don't think it's bad. I think it all turned out very good. I just can't really put her super high because of that.
Okay. All right, my number 8 is going to be Mrs. Loomis.
Okay.
Mrs. Loomis technically only killed one person. She attempted to kill others, but it didn't work. Like, she attempted to kill Louie, and she attempted to kill Gail, and she attempted to kill Nikki. So there's a lot of attempts. Also, how are you going to run away from your family and ditch your kid and everything else, and then something happens to his sicko ass, and then you're like, oh, my poor baby.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you didn't seem to give a fuck about him before, so why now?
And to me, that was another one, like, Piper. Oh, it was the reporter? Like, it's like, that's one you don't see coming. And I thought it was the first time it was done, so I didn't mind it. But it was like, well, where the fuck did she come from? And now she's Mrs. Loomis?
My favorite part was, since she stayed away from Sydney the entire movie, because Sydney knew who she was. As soon as she walks through the door, Sydney is like, Gail? And, like, Gail shakes her head no, and she sees Mrs. Loomis coming in, she's like, oh my god, Mrs. Loomis?
Yeah.
And Gail's like, wait a minute, you're Billy's mother? And, like, Mickey started chuckling about it and saying that she's Billy's mother, too. And she was like, wait a minute, I've seen pictures of you. And Sydney's like, yeah, this is a lot of work and a lot of weight later.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I liked her, but I felt like they were trying to make her too much of a Mrs. Voorhees.
Yeah.
For my taste. I felt like they were going too hard on the whole revenge thing with her. Because like I said, if she cared that much, why'd she leave him?
Yeah. And we'll get right into it because she's my number 7, actually.
Yeah.
And kind of for the same reasons, I like the homage. Obviously, I like the homage to Mrs. Voorhees. I thought that shit was dope. And the reason she's like kind of higher on my list is because that is one of the best reveals in Scream history. Like that final scene, it's hard to beat. Like with the first one's iconic, obviously, the them being in the blood for fucking 48 hours and all that shit. And just that scene turned out perfect. But the second one did a pretty damn good job of almost getting like right there with it between Mickey and her. Her reveal, it wasn't the greatest. Obviously, we know who the better killer was in that duo. But I thought for her character, it was another one that it didn't feel totally earned by the time we got to it. But I didn't hate it. I think that's kind of why she's in the middle here for both of us. Like, we didn't hate it, you know? I think we can agree on that. It wasn't good. It wasn't necessarily bad. But it was what it was.
I had to take points away because the only person that she technically killed was Randy.
Yeah, but that was a hell of a one kill, you know?
Especially since she did it in the middle of daylight and everything. I mean, that was clever. And how she left the kiss print on his hand so you knew it was a woman.
Yeah.
That was clever.
That's still like one of my favorite kills in Scream history. Just because it was so good. Like, it never happens. Except for like Clay in the new one, which was also fucking good. And Clay and his mom. Not Clay, but
and
the kid from 13
have,
Reasons.
What? And then you have like the boomboxers, like, if they weren't there blaring their music, somebody would have seen what was going on.
Yeah.
Or would have heard it.
Absolutely.
And it was so fresh and so new to us at the time. where it was very cringeworthy.
Yeah, we're like, holy shit, what's going on here?
Yeah.
I mean, technically, the principal in the first one, that's daytime, because that's
yeah.
cool. But, like, this was just done in such a different, like, cool way.
Well, Principal Hembley was killed in the abandoned school, like, all the kids left.
Yeah, it was, like, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, but...
Yeah.
I mean, it was daylight, technically, but we're in a building, so it's, like,
yeah.
it's a different scenario. But this was, like, it was such a good kill. He talked shit about her son, and he paid the price. So that's another reason why I have her kind of this high, but that's my number 7.
My number 7 is going to have to be Stu Mocker.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Unfortunately, the more that I see this stuff and the more that I do my research and everything, guys, we got to be honest here. He was a lackey.
But he's the greatest lackey of all time. That is the point. Oh, my God. I don't even know if we could continue the episode.
I mean it.
You're at Stu at 7? Holy shit. This is iconic. Say your piece. Say your piece.
It wasn't that iconic, though, because it was kind of obvious. Like, once the video store thing happened, like, you're kind of like, wait a minute. Whatever's going on, these two are working together. And I'm sorry, like, I've seen Matthew Lillard play in a lot of horror, and he can be very cynical as well as funny. And he wasn't cynical. He was just funny in this movie. So that's my piece.
Yeah, obviously this is an audio medium. We will get more stuff on the YouTube soon. But if there was a camera, you can see my heart literally falling out of my chest right now. I can't. I thought you loved Stu. Oh, my God. He's, like, my favorite movie character ever, but that's okay, you know. It's good that we have
that's
different
opinions. That's why we say that everyone has their different opinions.
Jeez,
and they're entitled to
but
them.
This one hurts. Oh, my God, Sue is 7. All right.
Sorry, Jim. Give
me
a nice
back. No, I'll be okay.
Call you
my number 6, I went with Beth from the third season.
Oh, really?
To me? I thought she was a better version of Amber. I really do. I like the horror fan, like the someone that just wants to make the story, you know, like she just wants to remake the story and she wants to like paint it in her picture. And she
and not even that, but she's watched a lot of horror stuff.
Yeah.
And the way that she felt was like, why do I have to keep watching Jason and Freddy when I would make a much better serial killer?
Yeah. Not only am I sitting next to Beth, but I think that she was... but, I mean, if there is you in one of these movies, but let's be fucking real. But she was a great... I thought she was really good, because we're getting down to, like, The Wire now. We're getting towards the really good ones. I don't know if she's, like, a really good one, but I'd say she was good. She served her purpose. She made that third season good. She fell in love with Biggie Small's son, and it was a great romance. She got him fucked up, but... She was cool. She was, like, cool. I don't know. I believed her more than I believed Amber, so that's why I had to put her higher.
She was psychotic.
And they put a lot more of her in the show. And, like, I didn't believe it. I didn't think it could be her. Even though
she was with them 24/7.
Yeah, and this show was pretty much like, it's her. And I still didn't know it was her. And, like, they gave me all these things that said, oh, it could be her. But I did not think it was. So it did what a reveal is supposed to do. It was fucking scary. She should have killed Keke Palmer. But Keke didn't need to be alive. You don't need two final girls.
For some reason, Keke ended up growing on Beth.
Yeah.
Because of how stupid and obnoxious she was.
Yeah.
So that's what got her that final girl status, is Beth couldn't kill her.
Yeah. No, but I thought it was done very well. I really liked Beth. I thought she was a good character. And I thought she was a good psychotic bitch.
Yeah.
So,
she is cool.
Yeah, that's my number 6.
All right, guys. My number 6 is Amber.
Okay.
I gave her more points than I did Richie just for the fact that I've been watching these movies for so long. And the fact that she disappeared, I knew something was going on.
Yeah.
And I couldn't wait for her to get back on camera and do what she was going to do. I've seen this little girl do a few different horror jobs. She's really good at it. She's good at the callousness of it. Very, very cold, very cynical. And I like that about her. Unfortunately, that also did lose her points because that made her more obvious to me.
Yeah.
She's too obvious. But she did a good job, and I'm sorry. I have to put her at number six because you got a little girl. I mean, she's like 5'3". She's taller than I am. She's skinnier than I am, and she took down Dewey.
She was the one. But to me, the end reveal, like, she was crazy enough to take down Dewey.
Yeah.
Like, maybe not physically, like, the fact that she, like, put a knife in his front and his back and then lifted him up, like, that's a little strong for me to believe a 90-pound woman did that.
Yeah.
But, like, crazy-wise, like, I couldn't believe it. She was fucking psycho, especially at the end. Like, at the end, and when she was running with that burnt face at the end, like, that was fucking cool.
Yeah.
And, like, and passed the torch. Oh, here's your torch. And they burn her, and then she's the last one to run out. Like, I thought that shit was awesome.
Yes.
Where does Scream 5 rank for you, Mindy, among the other ones? Because you got the killers not too high. Because I know you really love the movie.
1, 2, 5, 4, 3.
Respectable. All right. I'm going to get into my number 5. And my number 5 would be, right?
Okay, yeah.
5, 4, 3, yeah.
Yeah.
Jill Roberts, Scream 4.
I did the same one.
Okay, so we can talk about it together. She's my number 5. I think she's like, she was good. She was serviceable enough.
She was a psycho.
She was a really good psycho. For her acting ability, and I know what she can do, Emma Roberts.
Yeah.
So I was a little weary going into the movie seeing her, but I think she did a fucking damn good job.
Oh, absolutely. Especially because she had to play part good guy and part bad guy.
Yeah.
I mean, excellent job. Excellent work.
Yeah, I didn't think she was going to be a killer. I mean, I had a little, like, wait in the term, but it wasn't, like, big inclination.
I thought it was going to be passing down to the torch.
Yeah. I thought she was going to be the next Sydney, kind of like what they did with Tara and her sister, Sam.
Yeah.
So that's what I thought they were going to do. They didn't do that. They made her the killer. They went there, and I thought it was good. The scene of her fucking brutalizing herself and throwing herself into the mirror and the table and shit, that is one of the best scenes in that movie. And
that's one of the best scenes in horror history,
yeah,
man.
It was so good.
Like,
was,
she not only beat the shit out of herself, but she almost killed herself.
Yeah.
By doing this. I mean, if you think about it, when she had the knife propped up against the wall and just thrust herself into it, if she would have went just this centimeter more left to the left, she would have hit her heart.
Yeah. It was a nice callback to Billy and Stu stabbing each other, but she did it right because she thought Sydney was dead, and then she's like, I'm going to make myself look like the hero.
Yeah.
So I liked her stuff. The stuff in the hospital, I didn't
care.
Because
she took care of her business.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, now everything's taken care of. Let's take care of me and get this done.
And you know the movie was supposed to end there originally,
yeah,
right? That was supposed to be the original ending of the movie. And she gets carted away, and she's like this superstar now, and that's how it's supposed to end, not the whole hospital scene and shit afterwards. That shit, it was good, and it was cool seeing her get her brain fried and stuff.
She got beat by a bedpan.
Yeah. Well, that's why you said Dewey and the little guy. Dewey's been getting his ass kicked by Little Women for a while now.
That's
so, she was good. She was good. She was a good killer. And it meant more than the Roman thing. I believed it more. Because they built up to it the whole movie, so.
And I liked how, like, she, when she revealed herself, she was like, do you understand what it's like living in a fucking family with you?
Yeah.
All it is Sydney this and Sydney that. Sydney, Sydney, Sydney. And, like, I believe that.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's not her sister, it's her cousin. But I believe that.
Yeah.
That she would probably get, like, oh, why are you staying up so late and doing drugs? Her cousin Sydney would never do that.
Yeah. No, for sure. But, yeah. I thought,
and that's
going
to get
good
to you after a while.
Yeah, the motivation felt right. Everything was good about her role. So
I agree.
All right.
So we agreed, guys.
We agreed on one, thank God. After Stu, we needed it, so. And now let's go to one we're not going to agree with, and my number four.
Okay.
I have a young man named Billy Loomis at number four.
You do not.
I do. So you can look at my list. I have Billy Loomis at number... Oh, you have Billy at four. Okay, so you're not going to be pissed at me. Okay, thank God. I was getting a little scared there. But Billy is my number four. Yes, he's the most iconic. Yeah, but that doesn't always mean the best. Yes, he's the portrayal.
Original.
He's the OG. Everyone looks at him and does a little bit of their own spin, and that's great. And I thought he was awesome. I liked Skeet Ulrich coming back for the new one, even though you sort of got it wasn't him. I thought all that stuff was great. And I love Billy Loomis, but he is not the greatest killer to ever kill in this movie.
Yeah.
And he does kind of...
He barely kills. He's just the phone call lackey.
Yeah, and he's kind of like... The one, it takes brownie points away from him that, in that first one, like, you do think it's him the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, even when he gets stabbed, like, him getting up and, like, being the kid, you're not really shocked by it.
No, you're kind of just like, what friend did he pay off?
So, as good as the reveal was, and as much as we love that final scene, that's kind of how I feel, like, how you feel towards, like, Stu, now that you look back and look back, that's kind of how I feel towards Billy. Like, I look back, and he's still great, and he still obviously belongs in the top five, but I don't know if I can put him, like, at number one. He's my number four.
Okay, well, since I already tackled my number four with Daniel, I'm going to disagree with Daniel, and I'm going to go with Jamal.
For number three?
For number three. I really loved this character's performance. I'm not a huge fan of Tygett. I'm really not. But I liked the way that this character was able to play both sides of the field, like Joe was. He was able to pull off that whole not wanting to be a part of the family and whatnot to wanting to be a part of the family but knowing the secrets of the family. So I thought it was a pretty complex character.
It was. I like the character. I mean, I know, I guess it looks like we disagree because he's a lot lower
on
my list.
Well, because I think you kind of tend to go towards actors and I tend to go towards characters.
Yeah, in some sense. And I do like the character, and I do like what he did. And I do like the performance from Tyga, to be honest. I thought it was good, and he did what he had to do. He was the cool brother that turned out to be. I just felt like there was a lot that I liked more.
It took him forever to die.
Yeah.
I will have to say that I probably should have shaved some points off for that because it did take him forever to die.
But this isn't really what I have trouble with because I do think he did a good job.
Yeah.
I do think, like, he was fine, and he was good in the movie, and it was good. Like, if it was Beth by herself, it would have been a bit underwhelming. I thought Beth was better, but I did like
him. She needed a lackey.
Yeah, and he
was... Like she said, she needed a story.
Yeah, and he was a good story.
And he was a great story.
Yeah.
So she took a story, and she brought it to life.
Now, this one, my number three, because we kind of switched orders here, is gonna, now we're actually going to disagree, because I got Richie. One of the best killers in the franchise made the movie for me. Honestly, for the opposite reasons that you, I like that I did not was able to call it the whole time. I like that he was like the pussy, like he's the like the guy that like is on Reddit and he's fucking like he's this like nerdy dude that like he's catching up on the series now because he doesn't know. I love the character and I thought he was like he was great comic relief through the whole thing. And then when it's like the reveal, it's like holy shit. The only trouble I have is that when he does turn out to be the killer, there's still, like, four survivors left. So it's a little hard for me to believe that he's going to chop all these people off. So that's why I didn't have him at, like, one or anything crazy like that. But I thought his performance was awesome. I thought Richie was fucking great. And I love that, like, oh, he's just this psycho dude that met this girl on a subreddit. And he wants to, like, remake this movie in his own. And he knows how to do it by being the boyfriend. And he's going to make her the new Sydney, but he's going to kill her. I love everything that he had in his mind. And him telling the plan, it just made way more sense to me than Kieran. I thought, Kieran, that's a boyfriend done wrong. That's trying to be too much like Billy. I like that they went kind of the opposite of Billy and in a different way, but he's still, like, crazy and psychotic. And I really appreciated that about the character.
I agree.
I loved Richie. I love the movie, obviously.
To each their own.
But Richie, yeah, he made it for me, so.
All right, so we're running low on time here, but for number two, I have Beth.
Okay.
That's because I can relate a lot to Beth. I've had a lot of those moments where I'm sitting there watching a horror movie and I'm like, oh, God, that's stupid. The killer should have done this. And the killer should have done that. I'm not going to go off and kill people and show people that I can be a better killer. I'm not that crazy. Daniel thought I was. you guys got to understand, when this came out, I was sitting right next to Daniel. He was scared shitless.
Yeah, it was too real.
He paused it, and he was like, no, Mindy, no. So it hit a little too hard home for him. But I enjoyed her performance. I never really suspected her.
Yes.
That's why she's so high up on my list. She did a great job of completely avoiding any kind of suspicion.
Yeah.
In my book.
No, for sure.
I didn't suspect her at all. I thought it was Olivia.
Yeah.
For the longest time. I thought it was Olivia and Jay. That's what made the most sense to me. Especially because when they met each other, it kind of looked like they knew each other.
Yeah, I thought she was good. I really liked her, so I really don't have anything negative. I thought she did a good job. I wouldn't put her this high, but I really
enjoyed her. You understand why I'm doing it.
I do.
All right, number two for Daniel, or number one for Daniel. Number one.
No, it's number two, because you went ahead of me on one.
Yeah.
I went Mickey. I thought Mickey, you know, he like him and my one can be interchangeable. He could easily be one. By how the rest of your list is going, I'm guessing he's your one. Because he's the only motherfucker left. But Mickey was the man. And he was the only man that can disappear for 45 minutes in a movie and still come back very believable. And he was like the perfect geek. It's like if Randy was bad. Randy's such a good character. Now think of evil Randy. That's Mickey. And it was fucking awesome. I just love his character. I love how he was done. What's his fucking name?
Timothy Oliphant.
Timothy Oliphant is a great actor. I love him in Santa Clara Diet, too, which is a weird Netflix show about cannibalism, even though I was just talking shit about... Well, zombies, yeah, but... he's with another Scream alumni, Drew Barrymore. But he was great. He was very believable. I did not care about Mrs. Loomis, and that's why Mrs. Loomis didn't really brush my top five, because
yeah.
Mickey made that duo. Mickey was the mastermind, and Mickey was like... He didn't come across as a lackey. He came across as the guy running the show.
Yeah, and he's my number one, so I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I really liked the whole Bling the Movie concept.
Yes.
Because of the era that we are going into. We were already going into the Bling the video games and the media and everything else. So he had a strong motive going for him.
Like... We talked about Columbine, and it's a very tricky situation and how that made three.
That would have been in third, yeah.
Yeah, but this kind of, like, it touched on that a little bit before it even, because they played they blamed it on Doom in the video games.
Yeah.
And every, like, school shooting and killing and stuff that was happening, they're saying it's from the video games or the movies. Or,
mm-hmm.
So this was very, like, relevant, and it was a very good motive, and he was just... sinister. That end, he just seemed sinister. And he convinced Sydney that her boyfriend was turning on him while her boyfriend was tied up and cut up and all fucked up.
Oh, I love that.
He
and he's like, boyfriend killer.
Yeah, and he literally convinced her to where she, like, hesitated for a second, and then he killed Derek, and that was her fault.
Mm-hmm.
And now Sydney's character has to live with that. And that's just a little scene.
And, like,
and
Mickey
said,
like, come on, like, he was a good guy. Like, you had yourself a number one person. Like, he could have been the guy that you introduced to Mom, if you had a mom.
Yeah. So he was just the best. He was so sinister and Scream.
And he was funny.
Scream 2 is the best movie in the franchise,
unfortunately,
opinion.
I gotta say that too.
So, and he really helped make that movie. So, there you go. My one, Stu, obviously, I completely disagree with you. He's iconic. He's the fucking man. Stu Mocker, Matthew Lillard. If I could have a beer with any
celebrity. I swear to God, guys, he's gonna get a tattoo of Matthew Lillard with a Scream mask.
I would with him, like, open his hands when he was like, let's say, you're no Sharon Stone. I would love to get that tattoo.
Your mother's no Sharon Stone.
I would everything, like, you can just look at that performance and take out 20 iconic lines. Like,
well,
it's the most quotable character.
That a lot of his iconic lines, like the one about peer pressure and the "you hit me with the phone, dick."
They're improv.
That was never supposed to happen. Like, Skeet Ulrich was supposed to throw the phone in Stu's lap. But because of all the corn syrup and the fake blood and everything, his hand slipped and he ended up whacking him in the head.
You hit me with
and
the phone, dick.
Matthew Lillard didn't realize that they were filming. And he just went, "ow, you hit me with the phone, dick."
But he like said it in
but
Stu's voice.
He said it in Stu's voice and everything. And Wes Craven's just like, "oh my God, we got to keep this in here." And then another one is Sydney's on the phone with him. He's like, "did you really call the cops?" And she is like, "you bet your starry ass I did." And he's like, "my mom is mad at me, so mad at me."
Yeah, I love the character. I love because it's also like it's mysterious too, and it's like maybe like he.
Well,
could...
you wouldn't think that either, because you got to remember too. Like once she found out what happened with Billy, she ran for Stu.
Yeah, she thought Stu would be like her protector, and then he's like, "that was so menacing," and then he's like, "surprise, Sydney," and it's like, "holy shit!" And she's realizing, and
you
that
kind of wonder why he wasn't hugging her back because she was collapsed in his arms, basically, but he didn't have his arms out. He really didn't care.
And to me, that was a better reveal than the Billy reveal.
Yeah.
So I really love Stu. I think, and it's like, I, like, to your point, like, he was a lackey. But I think that's what makes him so good, because he doesn't have the fucking motive that Billy has. He's just this psychotic, easily fucking manipulated kid that'll pick up a knife and start fucking people up. And that's almost scarier for me. And there could be, like, the other theories. Like, maybe he is gay. Maybe he's in love with Billy. And there's stuff that they didn't touch on, but that you have to think about that as an audience member. And it's, like, there's extra, like, nuances in his character that I find, like, it was just a really, it was done well for me. And I enjoy the character still. So I thought, he is my number one killer. With that being said, next week we will be talking about the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre, so that's going to be a fun time, and we will also be getting in the psychology of Leatherface.
We're going to do a history lesson, guys.
A history lesson, a deep dive, what makes him work the way he does, and we're going to really try to, dive into the character of Leatherface. So make sure to check out next week. This was an awesome episode, Mindy. And,
it was. Guys, hootie-hoo.
Hootie-hoo.
We'll see y'all on TikTok. Make sure to keep on following there. We got 40 followers. Now blow it up, because I know all y'all want me to do the watch a movie with me series, but I got to hold the TikTok, and I cannot do that until we have at least 1,000 followers. So
okay. We
got to follow, guys. If you guys want to see this happen, which I know you do, because every time I post a video about it, 1,000 of you guys are watching it.
Right.
So follow. Get your friends to follow, not your kids. Don't have your kids follow me, because that's just not good. That's not good publicity. I want little kids watching this. But follow us, have your friends follow us, have your parents follow us. Just do what you need to do. Get us up there so I can give you guys what you want.
Absolutely. And with that being said, everyone have a nice, scary rest of the scary week, and we'll see everybody next week.
All right, guys.